You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Right to Survive Radio.
It's time once again for KBOO's annual John Lennon birthday celebration, this year with two events. Join KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater this Thursday, October 9th, for the film The U.S. vs. John Lennon. This 2006 documentary is not a movie about the past, but a timely film about artists and their responsibility during a time of war, with the example of John and Yoko turning the spotlight of their celebrity onto what they called commercials for world peace, featuring Gore Vidal, Tariq Ali, Howard Zinn, Yoko Ono, and others. That's this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The next night, join us for our all-night birthday party beginning at 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. KBOO presents John Lennon Night with outtakes, interviews, and lots of rare recordings. That's John Lennon Birthday Celebration this week on KBOO Portland.
Fight the Power on KBOO. That's the theme of this year's News and Public Affairs Day, this Friday, October 10th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Highlights include Nation magazine columnist Katha Pollitt talking about her new book, Pro Reclaiming Abortion Rights, and the ALEC Project, an investigation of Oregon legislation which has been influenced or created by the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. So fight the power and support KBOO. That's News and Public Affairs Day this Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
This is Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And tonight we are doing a show about our anniversary and how people got inspired to get involved and how people who have had success staying at the rest area and transitioning into housing. Remember, this is a pledge show this month, so get out your checkbooks and make sure you pledge to KBOO 90.7 FM to keep shows like Right to Survive and your other favorites on the air.
Yeah.
Start out by telling us your name and a little bit about how you're involved with Right to Dream 2.
My name is Grant Swanson, and I am currently the treasurer for Right to Dream 2. I've been in that role for a little over a year now.
And how did you get involved with Right to Dream 2?
Well, I first heard about Right to Dream 2 when I was active in the Occupy Portland movement, and then I started dating one of the founding members, Trillium Shannon, and then I started coming to Right to Survive meetings, got more involved, and eventually I ended up becoming the treasurer and being a board member of Right to Dream 2.
And what other kind of things have you done to support the Dreamers?
Well, I come from a background of labor union activism, so I have bargained a lot of union contracts. contracts with my local, AFSCME Local 88. So I am familiar with contract languages and rules and policies and procedures and that sort of thing. So I have been supporting the rest area by trying to quantify what happens down at the rest area in a manual and make clear for folks that come in what their expectations are and ways to make it clear for people who are there what the rules are, what's expected of them, and how they can be successful.
And is that something you do in conjunction with the Dreamers? What's the process for the manual? What is the significance of that?
Well, since it's a member-run organization, it's a participatory democratic model, I don't come up with fresh ideas myself. I just come up with other ideas that I hear from folks that are living there, and then we present them to the group, and then the group discusses what they think is the most fair for everyone who's there. And then once we get a consensus, I'll bring it to the mandatory meetings that happen on Sundays, and then we all vote on how we're going to govern ourselves.
What inspires you about Right to Dream 2?
Well, a lot of things. Some of the most inspiring work that I've done with Right to Dream 2 is they collaborate with Right to Survive on these under the bridge walks, where the extra donations that are given to Right to Dream 2 are then taken and dispersed in groups of people. We'll take carts and other wheeled devices to go around and walk under the bridges and find other homeless people. And we give away all of our extra supplies to folks that are in need. That is kind of the most inspiring and most rewarding for me, because you're meeting people at the ground level. You're educating them about what it means to be homeless. In addition to handing out supplies, blankets and sleeping bags, that sort of thing, we also give them a newsletter, the Right to Survive newsletter, that lets people know what's happening in the homeless community, and it spreads information among homeless activism amongst those most directly affected, the homeless themselves or houseless.
And what have you learned by being part of Right to Dream 2?
Well, I've learned a lot. Been around for about 2.5 years now, and I had only really experienced houselessness when I was 18, and I'd left home for a summer, lived in Chicago, and hitchhiked or hoboed there, walked a lot, and I got some services in Ann Arbor with the person I was traveling with at the time. They didn't have any shoes, so we were directed to some services, and then we ended up in Chicago. We went different ways. I ended up staying in Chicago the rest of the summer. So I had at that time experienced kind of the treatment that you get on the streets, being uncleaned and getting looked at differently because of the way you're dressed and so on and so forth. So having that in my background, and I'd also work with homeless youth. Houseless community in the past, but since I've been involved with Right to Dream 2, I have learned more and more the kinds of challenges that people face out on the streets, the types of populations that you see out on the street. You see a lot of mental illness, otherwise not diagnosed, a lot of addiction issues, and just a lot of people who end up in circumstances that are a lot of times beyond their control, and they're just trying to survive, basically. This society doesn't oftentimes have the kind of safety nets that other industrialized countries have, and so if you're not able to pay the price, or you have some disability, or a lot of times invisible disabilities, then you end up getting treated as a second-class citizen, and then you get stigmatized, and you fall in with other people who are also dealing with some of these same problems, and folks will oftentimes prey on each other and drag each other down, and it can be really hard. But then there are also other folk who are surviving and pulling each other up from these hard places as well. So a lot of it is very inspirational. It brings me a lot of hope, and yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag. But what have I learned? I've learned a lot of life lessons. You can't tell a book by its cover. You never know anyone until you take the time to get to know them. And there are as many reasons and stories for how people end up on the streets as there are people on the streets. No two people ever took the same route to get there. A lot of times, like so many things, it gets oversimplified the way people try to explain why people end up how they end up. You know, you do see some of the same patterns, but then you see a whole lot of people that are there for totally different reasons and have their own own experiences that they have oftentimes just moved me in a lot of ways, just to see what people have to do to survive and what they have to do to, you know, remain sane in an otherwise insane world.
True, true. So what would you like to say to our listeners, and what would you like to say to the Dreamers on this occasion of our third anniversary?
Well, I am super proud of everyone who's ever lived at or even used the rest area. It's an amazing and inspiring place. Seeing what people do to help support each other, it's truly inspirational. And I've been blessed just to be a part of everything that happens there. There are, you know, miracles every day there. I'm super proud that we've made it to 3 years. It's great. I mean, that's hundreds and hundreds of people who are getting safe sleep where they otherwise wouldn't have it. And, you know, thanks for doing what you're doing and stick with it. And I love you all.
And you are listening to Right to Survive, Right to Dream Radio here on KBOO Community Radio, your community radio connection. I'm Ani. I'm here with Jason this afternoon, and we are asking for your support for programming just like this for KBOO, your community station. KBOO is there for you and the communities to really share our stories, to get the word out there, to connect with each other. And really, very few shows are a better example of that than Right to Survive, Right to Dream Radio. And you know that these are voices that are so crucial to hear. These are people who are marginalized. This is a program for and by and about the houseless communities here in Portland. These are folks that have been pushed to the margins, people that that we don't hear from, except here at KBOO. Yet KBOO folks get trained in how to use the microphone, how to use portable field recording equipment, how to make radio, and how to share these stories. And right now we ask you to support that effort at 877-500-5266.
You know, I've traveled all over the place. I've been in radio for quite a few years, actually. And by the way, my name is Jason Prettyboy. Sitting in here doing a little bit of pitching. But as I was saying, I've traveled a lot of places, been on a lot of radio, and this is the only place I've ever seen where they arm people with with microphones to go out and record their stories. It is so rare to see that happen, to see a radio station care so much about their people. And so we expect the people to care about the radio station as well. And that's why we want you to call our phone number. And I lost it. It's 877-500-5266. Call that phone number. You can keep us on the air. You, individually, you, and you. If you just call right now, give us a little bit of money. We're not asking for very much. And you can get some cool gifts.
You can get some very cool gifts. In fact, for example, there's a news flash drive. If you are a news and public affairs junkie, if you are somebody who wants to spread information around your community, and that's one of the reasons you want to support KBOO right now at 877-500-5266, then ask as your thank you gift for this 4-gig flash drive. It's got exclusive content to KBOO, includes a talk by Bill McKibben from 350.org, from Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, from Greg Palas, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, so many others, and a whole lot of fabulous audio from KBOO's very own in-house specials. Our public affairs producers, volunteers from the community who have learned to make radio and provide it for you every day here at KBOO. Call right now with your $75 contribution. Join KBOO. You can do that monthly. You can do that at, say, $6.25 a month, in fact. Or you could do it as a one-time gift on your credit card, or have us send you a return envelope for your money order. However you choose to do it, please connect now. You can get us online at kboo.fm or call 877-500-5266.
All right, Brad, so what have you learned as a result of being part of Right to Dream 2?
Tenaciousness. You got to keep poking at it, or else you're not going to get off the street. You have to get out there and start poking the pavement or poking the services in order to excel. That's what I learned. It's rough. But you have to put your nose to the grindstone, not miss any meetings, and you can find housing, but it's really iffy.
Iffy part being just whether or not you can.
A lot of bars to housing, a lot of them. If you can't find a reasonable accommodation and can't explain what went wrong in your life and how you overcome that, they don't have to take it. So you can apply to housing with all the backup. Still, they don't have to accept you.
So how long have you been in housing and what's changed for you since you got into an apartment?
It's just more comfortable. I come down here a lot, so I don't get to stay in. You know, I'm not one of those shut in.
Well, you're not having that problem, and in fact, you will be celebrating along with your fellow dreamers and supporters and board members the third anniversary of Right to Dream 2, and it's going to be October 11th, Saturday, from 12 till 5. And so what kind of message do you have for the listeners listening about Right to Dream 2, or even a direct message for the organization that you co-chair?
Well, I guess I get to dust off my guitar and do a little picking during the situation. Boy, I lost my calluses, boy, but I'm going to have to work them back. We got 3 years. We didn't know we were going to last 30 days. So this is quite the blessing three times over.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add, Brad?
Keep plugging away.
Yeehaw. Tell me your name.
Brad Gibson.
Okay, Brad, introduce yourself a little. Who are you? What do you do?
Well, I'm the vice chair here for Right to Dream 2 rest area here. I do office and administration, graphics, about anything that needs.
Excellent. And so we're doing a special for Right to Dream 2's third anniversary, which is coming up. Happy birthday, Right to Dream 2. Woo-hoo. And we're primarily focusing on people who've stayed at Right to Dream 2 who now have housing. And recently you got housing. So I'd like to hear a little bit about your process of finding housing and how long you were at Right to Dream 2.
I was at Right to Dream 2. 6 months I was here, and getting wet, then it got hot, then it got cold. You know, it went through the summer. When you have a tent in the sun, it tends to get really hot in them.
Okay, so what I want to hear about, too, is what was it like? What was the process you had to go through to get housing? You were at Dignity Village, and then you came to Right to Dream 2 to stay. I'm kind of interested, too, about that transition. Like, how was it different being at Right to Dream 2 than Dignity Village?
It's a lot closer in, and we went to TPI. To get case management. Michael and I had gone up there to TPI, and we had become partnership organization where they would come down and get lists of people that was suffering homelessness out of the members here, and also the overnighters. So they'd come down into our lines and get names and everything, and I lent mine in there. And so I went in there, and everything they asked me to do. First of all, we had to get on subsidized lists. We had to have at least 10 of those lists to go out, put applications in, actually physically go out there and all over Portland. Then you get those. Then you had to go through a Rentwell class, which is a 6-week long class. Keep up with all your appointments. And then when the determination was made, you have to go to a housing retention meeting. That's when you bridge the hump to actually getting the funding for housing. And there's a lot more hoops to jump through than just that. It took us those 6 months, because I started when I first got here. It took 6 months to get into housing.
And you were doing everything right. You weren't missing any appointments, or?
I wasn't missing any appointments. I was going up and above board. And I mean, I did everything right down the line, and it still took me 6 months. It's not an immediate thing to happen. If you're looking to get into housing, we didn't have rental history. So therefore, it bound us. You know, we were homeless. Did you know, you get it there? We're homeless. Okay, we didn't have rental history. So we're barred because we're homeless. I thought that was the reason to get into housing.
So your first attempt at housing, you couldn't get in because you didn't have a rental history.
Right. Exactly. And it's, wait a minute. I'm homeless. No rental history. Well, duh. But I can account from where I was. But they didn't want to take that.
Did it make a difference that you are part of a couple? Was that easier to get housing for you? Is it more difficult for single men to find housing?
It's more difficult for single men to find housing because these programs are geared toward female being the head of household. They'd like to see more of the woman taking charge, and, you know, it's part of their stipulations now. It's either got to be a couple or a single woman. They would like to see the woman step up.
Okay, I hear you. So you're not saying that it's a negative thing, but that they are taking women, they're taking couples, but they're not taking single men, which is why people might see more single men out there on the streets.
Right. It's like if you're a male and you don't have a disability, you're going to have a big problem. They don't have a niche for that type. Fit on any list. You're not in any programs. You don't have a drug addiction. You don't have an alcohol addiction. You don't fit in any of the specialty items. So you're going to have a problem.
So, but you did get housing, and here you are still at Right to Dream 2, co-chair, helping out with all these things that need to happen. What have you learned about yourself from being part of Right to Dream 2?
Oh, boy, there's a lot involved here. And that's a deep well to that's a deep well to go into.
And you are listening to Right to Survive. This is a radio program produced by people involved with Right to Dream. You are hearing all about Right to Dream tonight on this program. It's an amazing rest area, and it has been flourishing now for 3 years against all odds. And it's an amazing resource for the community. And, you know, speaking of other amazing resources in your community, there's KBOO. My name is Ani. I'm the volunteer coordinator here at KBOO, and I'm also a volunteer. And I'm sitting next to Jason Prettyboy, another volunteer at the station. And we are asking for your support tonight because it is a labor of love that goes into producing this radio, and we need you, our community members, to support it financially. Your contribution of just $6.25 a month adds up to $75 in a year's time, and that's a significant contribution to support your community, but so easy to do, just 1 month at a time, knowing that your contribution every month is providing a microphone to these people who otherwise we would never hear from, and we need to hear their stories. We need to hear each other. KBOO is there for many communities, and right now we're asking you to be there for us. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
You know,
we are looking to raise $300 this evening.
$300. That's what we need, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, she said $6.25 a month. It adds up to $75 a year. You know, $6.25 is actually two cups of bad coffee. Really overpriced bad coffee. So instead of going and get that overpriced bad coffee, you need to give us the $6.25. Call in, donate. 877-500-5266. You can go online. That is actually how I donate to KBOO. I go online because I don't use telephones. That's just my thing. Yeah, I don't do it. And if you donate $75 at the $75 level or greater, you can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees. Yes, you can have a tree planted in honor of your donation to KBOO. Do your part to offset the climate change. By contributing today. Also, we do have the monthly deductions. Ani, can you tell me a little bit about the monthly deductions?
Absolutely. It's an easy way to sustain us. It's an easy way to give a significant contribution to KBOO and supporting your community, really, a good deal, but in little easy bite-sized pieces. I know I can contribute a whole lot more over the course of a year if I do it in a breakdown of a monthly payment sort of way. And that's a great way to support us. If you have been doing that for a while, see about maybe if you can up your pledge, maybe just $1 a month, and see, again, if you can afford that additional support for your community so that we can make sure that we can keep access flowing to members of all communities so that we can use KBOO as that hub so that we can reach out to each other and inform each other. 877 500-5266 is the number to call. Help us raise that $300 goal for Right to Survive, and really support KBOO overall. KBOO.FM if you'd prefer to do it online. I want to let you know anyone donating $60 or more is eligible to get a pair of tickets for Yassine Bey, aka Most Def, and that show is at the Roseland Theater this Friday night. Local musician Lila Damone. I like her music. How do I pronounce her name? I don't know. Anyway, she'll be opening the show. Each donor that can go will be on the guest list and can bring a friend. You just need to let us know and contribute $60 to KBOO. Join KBOO right now. Get a pair of Yassine Bey tickets for this Friday night.
You know, we'd be amiss if we didn't thank all of our volunteers and all of our contributors, especially our restaurants that have fed us this day. Bridges Cafe at, where are they at?
2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr.
Chai Yo Thai.
Yeah, at 14, you know, the print, it's so small and so far away.
I'm old.
1411, we'll extend our arms soon. 1411 Northeast Broadway, Chai Yo Thai open every day from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
And Brickside Brewery.
Brickside Brew Pub, specializing in friends, food, and beer at 820 Northeast Deakin. Information at 503-719-6475 or online at breakside.com. And mostly we want to thank you for your support of KBOO. It's been fantastic. Your support has been coming in during this fall membership drive, but I know there's still a few people listening right now that have not yet taken it upon themselves to fulfill their responsibility to community and making sure that you're doing your part to keep media free and independent here at the mighty 90.7 KBOO. 877-500-5266 is that number. Please do call right now with your sustaining membership to KBOO. $75 contribution, you can ask for that 4-gig news flash drive or your pair of tickets to see Yassine Bey this Friday night. Whatever you would like to do, know the real gift you're getting is KBOO in your ear and KBOO in your mind as you keep KBOO in your heart and support your community by calling 877-500-5266.
First of all, can you introduce yourself?
My name's Kerry White.
Kerry, we're doing success stories from Right to Dream 2. And first of all, I just wanted to hear about how long were you at Right to Dream 2 and what was your experience like?
I was here almost, about 2.5, maybe getting close to 3 years. My experience here was pretty good. It got me off the street, gave me a place to stay where I was safe, and my partner at the time was safe too, so we didn't have to worry about anybody on the street giving us a hard time or throwing things at us or stealing from us because we were in a safe place finally, and so we were able to finally concentrate on getting our lives back on track.
And what kind of things did you do for the community when you lived here?
Well, I went and talked in front of city council. I went to Eugene and helped Eugene talk to their people so they can get a rest area like this started. I pulled my share of security around here. If things needed to be built around here, I built those. Just whatever needed to be done, I did what I could to pull my weight around here and show people that I do care.
I seem to remember in the early days you going and washing sleeping bags for the rest area using your bike. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I used to be in charge of taking the sleeping bags and up to the laundromat to wash those, and we really didn't have any transportation to do it, so I would hook my bike trailer up to the back of my bike and load it up as high as I could and tie it down and go up to the laundromat and spend 2 or 3 hours up there washing and drying the sleeping bags and turn around and load the trailer back up and bring them back. And that was about something I was doing twice a week. At times it went good, and other times the load just didn't want to sit right, and so I had to keep fighting with it and everything. But it was one of my ways of giving my support here, because we need clean sleeping bags, and there was no other way to get them done, so that's what I did.
So you saw Right to Dream 2 through the better part of what's now going to be a three-year struggle to be a safe and legal place for people in Portland who don't have housing, and you yourself recently got housed. Can you talk about what that was like? What was the process to get housing?
Yeah, I just recently got housing, and when I was in the process of getting my housing, I was working with TPI, and my case manager gave me a bunch of things I had to do, so I did what she told me to do and jumped through the hoop, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. She gave me a list of four places to check into. I checked into those places. They were closed. So she says, well, what about the Medford, which is above the old TPI? I said, well, that's fine. She found out that there was a process of getting into that. It's like, okay, well, now we hit another roadblock that we have to go through. So we got a hold of my PO, let her know what we were looking at and what circumstances were in front of us and what needed to be done and everything. And so I ended up moving into the Medford. And when I first moved in there after living at Right to Dream 2 for over 2 years, now I'm inside, so I had to go through a whole new process of being indoors again after being outdoors for so long. With it being real quiet in my room, it was hard for me to sleep. I was warmer than normal, so that took some getting used to. It's just little steps, just like you come off the street into the rest area, you got steps there that you gotta go through to get used to being in there. Well, I had to go back through those steps again on being housed now. My room is just a one room. It only has one window. And so I opened up my window. So now I get the fresh air coming in. So that's something I'm used to feeling. I'm still able to hear a little bit of noise at night. So that's what I listen to help put me to sleep, because when you live at the rest area, you got the street, you got people on the street all the time, you got the traffic going by, you get used to sleeping with all this noise. And I've been in my place now, this will be my fourth month, and I've got everything settled in now, and where it's my place, I'm able to go there and unwind and relax and just get away from people if I want to, and it's nice.
So has anything else changed for you since you've gotten housing?
Well, since I've gotten housing, I also got full-time employment. A gentleman that I knew told me about this company called Philco Demolition, and it was a chore to get out to their office, especially when you don't have a car, because buses don't run out to their office. So I had to go clear out to Happy Valley and ride my bike about 2 miles to get to their office. But once I did that and did up all the paperwork and everything, they processed my paperwork and I went to work. So I've been working full time, and it's been nice.
Is there anything else you want to say to our listening audience about Right to Dream 2 and a message for Right to Dream 2 as we approach our third birthday?
If you put your foot forward and do what needs to be done, you can make it as far as I have, even further, if they want to. As far as the three-year anniversary coming up, never thought I'd see this place make it to 3 years, but I'm glad it has. Keep up the good work, and let's make it a fourth year.
Thanks, Gary. Just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Willow Frost. I'm a trans male to female, and I used to live here at Right to Dream 2.
Willow, how long did you stay at Right to Dream 2?
From February 2012 to July 15th of 2014.
So what was the process like for you getting housing?
I could have gotten housing a lot faster if I'd have let people know that I had HIV, but I was... Some small part of Right to Dream 2, I guess, kind of imprinted itself on my sense of right and wrong. And I decided that I didn't want housing because I was sick. And it took that long for me to be introduced to a program called the Community Engagement Project, run by Central City Concern. Honestly, it was about a month and a half once I got told that I would be getting housing, that I got it. There were a lot of ups and downs. There were a lot of times where I was fairly sure I was not going to make it at Right to Dream 2. In the end, I made it, and it's a great place for people to be.
So yeah, I was wondering, you were talking about challenges, you know, not feeling like you might make it. Was part of that related to living with this many people, or how was it challenging for you?
When you have a group of people, regardless of how well-adjusted they are, regardless of how big it is, you're going to have issues with at least some of them. And some of the decisions I made in hindsight as a member maybe weren't the most compassionate.
Willow, maybe you could explain to the listening audience what you do or what you did as a member, because when newspaper articles come out, they make it look like Right to Dream 2 is 90 people. The same 90 people have been living here for almost 3 years. And I think that what you're getting at is this really unique place that Right to Dream 2 is, where you take care of other people. And could you just describe that a little for the listeners?
Yeah. So you walk up to Right to Dream 2, the first thing you'll see is the doors and the really big kind of network of tents that are under a very large tarp. But if you came inside Right to Dream 2, you'd see about 15 or 20 people that keep up the day-to-day activities and maintenance of the rest area. You'll see just a few people sleeping here or there inside the tents. It's not the same 90 people every night. I see people stay here for 2 weeks and then I will never ever hear from them again. I'm under the impression that they were traveling, or that they got picked up, or they got their life together, something. We see fresh new faces around here all the time, and I see fresh new faces here even though I don't live here anymore.
So Right to Dream 2 has 15 to 20 or so members at any time who do all the security and take care of people who come here to sleep during the day or overnight. And so when you were a member, you were every night when you were on security, you would check people in or you would take care of their sleeping bags, various different activities.
Right. The duties of a member sound complicated on paper, but in practice, as with anything else, you get used to them very quickly. You go do checks outside the perimeter and inside the perimeter every 15 minutes. Every time a sleeping bag is returned by an overnighter or a day sleeper, then you disinfect it and set it inside the sleeping bag area for use again. You check inside the members area to make sure there's no shenanigans going on, and generally upkeep the rest of the rest area while you're responsible for other people's safety.
So what changed about you as a result of being part of Right to Dream 2?
I became more patient with people. I learned that sometimes sarcasm is not the best answer. And I actually learned a lot of stuff that can be translated into work, into work life. I learned how to write a check. I learned how to do security checks. I learned how to relate to the public. Maintenance, small bits of carpentry. I learned how to put up a tent. I learned how to fold a sleeping bag to save space. As a member of Right to Dream 2, I was expected to go to protests and rallies. I learned how awesome a protest can be. I also learned how awesome a seminar can be. Trillium, one of our board members, took me and a few other members to ANT last year, and it's Activists Mobilizing Hour. It was amazing. I learned a lot of stuff, and even though my pants ripped, I still was able to get a lot out of it. There's a lot of stuff I learned while I was here, and there's a lot of stuff that changed about me.
And I was reminiscing on our trip to Seattle to visit the tent cities up there, and how I learned from Willow how to do some simple social media stuff that wasn't so simple for me at that time. So just the give and take between dreamers and supporters and board members together here. Willow, what's changed for you since you got housing?
I've been a lot less busy. A lot less busy. I no longer need to go scavenging for food every day. I don't need to go spanging to get myself stuff, because I have stuff that I can save now. I've got a window, which is weird. Having a window is really weird. But about my personality, I would say that getting housing kind of alienates you from the rest of the houseless community, because even though mine is just temporary housing until permanent housing opens up, it definitely alienates you. It makes you less able to empathize properly with other homeless people. Or it makes it so you have less in common with people sleeping on the streets, because at the end of the day, you're gonna go back inside and it's gonna rain on them.
It's a hard adjustment for a lot of people, and I think that that's been touched upon by other folks we've interviewed too, that it's not just this end of story happy ending.
It's definitely happy. I'm very, very happy that I'm inside, but it's weird. It's I can't say there's a defining good or bad. It's definitely weird.
So Willow, our anniversary party's coming up, the 3-year anniversary, and I wonder if you have a message for the people listening and for a Right to Dream 2 for the birthday party, 3rd anniversary.
I don't know what you say to an organization on their birthday. Happy birthday, Right to Dream 2.
Can you sing it?
No.
Just kidding. Okay, anything else you want to add that I didn't ask you about in this brief interview?
If you're homeless, even if you're not on the street, Right to Dream 2 can benefit from your presence, and you can benefit from Right to Dream 2. The members and the board members have so many contacts and so many resources that they can help you, even if you don't need to sleep here. And even though the sleep is generally our forte and what we stress the most, we do offer other resources. If you need housing or you need social security, we can point you in the right direction. If you don't want to sleep inside the rest area but need to find a place to get out of the rain, Right Stream 2 is filled with veteran homeless people. So don't be afraid to come down. We don't bite.
You're awesome. Thanks. Somebody
help me. That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you. Mike.
And you are listening to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO, your community radio station, where I remain to be Ani.
And I remain to be Jason.
And we are asking you for your support for KBOO, your community radio station. It is yours. It is a reciprocity. Yeah, it's one of them reciprocal relationships.
There you go.
And we are asking you to close in that loop right now because we know you're listening. We know that you have already joined us with your mind, your values, and KBOO's values, the values that support and empower communities are right there at the forefront of your life. And now we just need you to actually financially support those values and support that which you tune to for connection to your communities, to hear other people's stories, to hear something that reflects reality to you. Here on KBOO, your community radio station, that's what we do. And we ask you to support it by dialing 877-500-5266. Or online, you can click kboo.fm.
You know, I'm going to throw some numbers at you now, because where does KBOO get its money? Well, 83% of it is directly from individuals like you and me. 17% of it, though, is from other local sources, but that's mostly underwriting, donations, vehicle donations, and web ads. So 83% of this, we're keeping it afloat. That's basically what it is, people. KBOO operates because of us. It's our radio station.
It's so true. We are the grassrootsiest. I mean, really, without you, quite literally, there is no KBOO. As one of the oldest community radio stations in the country, serving for over 46 years at this frequency, a lot of people kind of take us for granted, thinking that we've always been around, we're always going to be around. And we would love to always be around, but we can only do that if your support comes in now. During our fall membership drive, we are looking to raise $80,000 overall. We are well on our way. We have only a day and a half, two days left in our drive. We will end this on Friday night, and we want to make sure that you are added to our membership or renewing your membership before the whole thing closes. It is important that you step forward and participate in your independent media resource.
And you can do that by picking up your phone and calling 877-500-5266. You can go online to kboo.fm. There's a little tip jar up in the right-hand corner. I think it's the right-hand corner. Click that. You can donate to us.
Or you can come on in, 20 Southeast 8th. We'd love to show you the stations, and you can see exactly how your money is spent here. You can take a tour. You can meet the people that make the radio, and you can actually see about getting more involved your very own self if you have the time to become a volunteer and create radio programs or help out in any of a number of ways around the station. 500 volunteers keep this thing powered and keep it staffed, and we need your funds to keep the energy on, keep the lights on, keep the power transmitting, and keep things together here. So it costs about $88 an hour for KBOO to stay on the air. We ask you right now, why don't you call in with a $90 contribution and know that you are doing your part. You're taking care. You're sponsoring an hour's worth of programming every year with your, say, $7.50 every month contribution, sustaining member of KBOO. You can do it easy. 877-500-5266. We have only one phone line left open. It's very exciting to be getting your support this afternoon. It's a beautiful, moving into an evening. Jason, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous evening.
It's a gorgeous evening.
And right now, it would be even more gorgeous with your participation at KBOO, your community radio station. One more time, that phone number.
877-500-5266, and we're going to get right back into Right to Survive Radio.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. 'Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys.
Okay, so we're gonna start out. If you could just introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Melissa.
Tell us a little bit about you, Melissa.
Well, I was homeless for almost 4 years. I was one of the first people down here at R2D2. Me and my dog, Paige Marie, who's still living here, and my best friend, Marty, who's still here also. As of right now, I've been married a year and a half. I have a job. I have my own apartment. We have vehicles. I'm now a good citizen. Well, I've always been a good citizen.
Telling us about being a good citizen.
Well, I mean, I've always been a good citizen, but now I have bills to worry about and, you know, a husband to take care of and two dogs. And I'm still part of R2D2. I love them. I owe them a lot. They've helped me out in times that I was ready to give up, but they were always there to pick me up and point me on the right path.
So tell us about your time at Right to Dream too. Like, how did you contribute to the community and what did you learn?
The main thing I learned is to be grateful. A lot of people come down here, nothing to do with the state or the city. It's private people. They come down here from the goodness of their heart and give us food, give us donations. So I learned to be grateful and not to judge people, because all of us are people, no matter what our backgrounds are, what our addictions are or whatever. We all have a heart. We all need to eat. We need to be clothed and we need to sleep. And Right to Dream 2 understands that. They're non-judgmental. So I learned how to be non-judgmental and very grateful for everything.
That's great. And so you were telling us a little bit about the turns your life has taken. How did you find housing and what are you doing now?
I got married. I met a really wonderful man. He knew that I was homeless when I first met him. At one point when we first started, I told him to go along his way, that he didn't need to be with somebody like me, that he was better than that. And he told me no, that he loves me and that he was gonna help me. So I knew that he was the man for me. He doesn't judge me at all. We have a really good relationship. We both work. He works two jobs. He takes care of me and I take care of him. And, you know, and that gratefulness comes in again, because I'm so grateful for the life I have today.
So you still have relationships with people down at R2D2. Your best friend lives here. Your beautiful dog, Paige, who's kind of like R2D2's mascot, is always visiting people and giving them love and curling up with people on their sleeping bags. So what's important to you about the fact that R2D2 is about to be 3 years old and that it still exists?
Oh, I'm so excited, because when we first came in, like within the first couple months, we were scared the police were going to come in and shut us down. You know, there was just that uncertainty. But to me, by that time, it was already my home, because it gave me a place to sleep. It gave me security, safety. Yeah. I'm just thrilled to death it's still here. And I just feel more people need to open up their hearts and look deep inside themselves to understand what R2D2 brings to the community, because it's run by itself, by its members. And the community, of course, helps us out. But there's a lot of people against it because they don't understand exactly what it's all about. They don't understand our situation that we're in, and they think that it can't happen to them. They look down upon us and all this stuff, and it's not right. They need to, you know, get in and understand us and get to know the homeless community and know that we're not bad, that we're people too.
Absolutely. And what kind of message do you have that you'd like to send to the Dreamers on the anniversary, the people who are currently there holding it down, doing security and the whole thing? What do you want to say to them on their third anniversary birthday?
Just to keep it up. I think that they're all doing an awesome job, you know, that they're all look out for each other. I mean, sure, they have their misunderstandings and their arguments, you know, but at the end of the day, they are a family. They look out for each other. They love each other. If somebody's hungry, they're going to share their sandwich with them, you know. So just keep supporting each other and just keep dreaming.
Awesome. Is there anything else you want to talk about that we didn't talk about in particular? I mean, you can get anything out there that you feel like.
You know, I mean, I look at Ibrahim and Lisa now, and even you as family, you know, I know that no matter, you know, even though I'm in housing now, that I know no matter if I need something, if I need advice, I know who to go to. They're always willing and ready to help me with advice, and they're very accepting people. And I just love you guys to death. I'm giving her a hug now.
Oh, sorry. Hug. And I got her earring. And do you know that you're an inspiration to so many people? We're doing success stories, and you're someone who came and utilized R2-D2, but it was you who actually got yourself into a new situation. You know, I think you touched on it a little bit, but you've been working, and if you want to say a little bit more about, like, how you did that for yourself, besides getting married.
You know, I mean, being homeless, it wasn't me. You know, I mean, I learned how to adapt, but it just wasn't the life that I wanted to lead. I knew that there was something better out there for me, and I just needed somebody to stand there and push me. When I was out here, I was in a very unstable relationship, and he wasn't no good for me. And so when you're in that type of relationship, you know, you don't focus on the good or the or your future. You know, you just focus on the here and now, like, what's he going to do next? And so now, you know, I know that I have support behind me. And if I can do it, anybody can do it, you know, because I was in the same exact situation without a penny in my pocket, wearing clothes that people donated, food that people donated, you know. So if I can do it, I know everybody can do it. They just need to find that spirit within themselves and that strength to be able to do it.
Yeah, and do you have a passion for any particular, I mean, I think you were doing some work with women for a while when you got working, and tell us about that.
I was working for the PDX Women's Expo, and I felt passionate about that because they were helping build a homeless shelter for women, a resource center, and I felt really passionate about that. I missed the work. I just butted heads with the main guy for a little bit, you know, so I had to step back, but I just wasn't happy in the job, but I was happy with the objective of the job.
So you learned a lot about yourself, and do you still consider yourself an advocate for the houseless community?
Of course I do. Every time somebody says anything about homeless, I let it be known that I was homeless 4 years, that I stayed here at R2-D2, that I still come down here every day, that I talk to everybody. You know, I mean, if I hear somebody say something bad about somebody homeless, you know, I'll be like, hey, I was in that situation, you know, you don't judge people. That's what I tell them.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being you. Thanks for being who you are and all you've done. And we'll see you at the party on October 11th. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Right to Survive Radio. I am Jason Prettyboy sitting in with you. And Ani has morphed into the host of Rose City Native Radio.
Hello, this is Jackie Malmstrom. How are you doing, Radioland out there?
How you doing, Jackie?
I'm doing good.
You know, Jackie is one of our newer DJs here at KBOO. She hosts Rose City Native Radio every Thursday evening, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you are supporting young, up-and-coming DJs like Jackie.
Yes, indeed.
When you give us your donation, you know, $6.25 of monthly donation supports what's going on here at KBOO. Mm-hmm. You know, and what do you think about radio, Jackie?
Well, I think radio is very important, especially the type of radio here at KBOO, getting the voices of the people out there instead of commercial corporations, if you will.
Very good. You know, we spend the money that comes into here on broadcast. About 48% of it goes to broadcast. That's staff, transmitter, in-station equipment, purchases, maintenances, computers, production, music, utilities. 27% of it is administrative. Now, that's staff, contracted professionals, office supplies, building maintenance, bank fees, the stuff, the icky stuff that we don't really want to deal with, but we have to. And 25% of it goes to fundraising. That's staff, paper printing, postage, other supplies, advertising, thank you gifts. Now, you too can support all of this. All you really need to do is pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. And we have a army of volunteers sitting behind us here and waiting to take your phone call. Also, you can go online at kboo.fm. That's kboo.fm. There's a little tip jar up in the corner. Click on that and you can actually donate that way. And now if you donate about $60, You it kind of makes you eligible to get a free pair of tickets to Yassine Bey, also known as Most Def. Oh. Now, this show is on Friday, I believe that's 10-10?
Yes.
Okay. At 8:30 at the Roseland, local musician Lila Damone will be opening the show. So if you call now and you donate about $60, you can get that. Also, we have some other great premium gifts that you can get if you give a $75 minimum donation. We have a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Now, these are kind of cool. You know, black shirt with red and white DN logos in front. Okay. And then the web URL is on back. So, you know, if you want to go check out Amy Goodman, you can do it that way. Also, we have a KBOO 4-gig news flash drive that we will give to you. Exclusive KBOO content includes recorded talks by Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now!, Greg Palast, Raj Patel, Robert Johnson. Host of specials, it's stuff that you can't hear anywhere else because it is exclusively KBOO. Again, if you just pick up the phone and call 877-500-5266, you will be connected to our army of volunteers who are willing to help you. And as we move into the next hour, I will still be here, of course. Mm-hmm. You can listen to me in my dulcet tones. But before that, we will actually jump back into a Right to Survive Radio.
So first, introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you do at Right to Dream 2.
Hi, I'm Trish Reed, and I am in training to become Secretary of the Board.
Awesome. And Trish, you're also on part of the planning committee for the birthday party for Right to Dream 2 that's coming up. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what they can expect if they come down to Right to Dream 2 on Saturday?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have games, we're going to have food, and just lots of fun.
Great. Details on that party. What time should they show up? Do they need to bring anything?
The party is from noon to 5, and we are accepting donations, and we are doing raffles, so bring some money with you.
Cool. I actually heard from some of the Dreamers that we are low on sleeping bags for the upcoming winter, that we have about half as many as we had to start the season last year. So maybe people could bring down a sleeping bag, or what are other useful things for if people want to give a birthday present to Right to Dream 2?
Sleeping bags, we always need things like socks, underwear, you know, both men's and women's underwear, bras, panties, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, just stuff like that.
Thank you for your good work with Right to Dream 2.
You're welcome.
All right, Trish, thanks for the on-the-fly interview.
Yeah, no problem.
You have just heard from some of the success stories that have come out of Right to Dream 2. In the 3 years since the opening of Right to Dream 2, October 10, 2011, we have had an abundance of success. Here are some of our statistics. 190 people have found housing. 145 were able to find employment, some by utilizing the skills they learned from Right to Dream 2. 12 women went through pregnancy, and 9 was able to keep their babies. 10 people was able to obtain a clean and sober life, and several people have utilized Right to Dream 2 so that they may continue their education.
For Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. I would like to thank our guests, board members Grant Swanson, Brad Gibson, and Trillium Shannon, as well as Carrie White, Willow Frost, Melissa Rodriguez, for sharing their stories of Right to Dream 2 and what they went through to find housing or what inspired them to be part of Right to Dream 2. Come join Right to Survive along with Right to Dream 2 as we celebrate their 3-year anniversary on October 11th. Right to Survive meets every second and fourth Thursday of the month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, located at 6th and Davis, from 5 to 7 p.m. Reach us on Facebook or at r2spdx@gmail.com.
join in R2-D2 celebration.
Meet the dreamers, share our successes, and learn more about us.
Come join us for our third anniversary.
Drop off a donation and stay a while.
Happy anniversary to those who dare to dream.
Everyone's welcome.
Thursday the 9th of October at 8 p.m. We at Guess Who's Coming to Radio will be doing our first membership drive special since our hiatus in honor of none other than Herbie Hancock. Herbie has transcended musical genres for over 50 years by meshing funk, hip-hop, electronic dance, classical, and more with a spiritual and traditional jazz sensibility. We will be exploring so many of these different eras, so stay tuned for our tribute to Herbie Hancock and Community Radio, Thursday the 9th of October at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run. Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. Friends of Jordan is an organization that provides support for families as they go through the trials of serious childhood illness. This fun run and walk will raise funds for Adult in Reno, a 22-month-old from Salem. Again, that's the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run. On Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at Forest Grove High School, 1401 Nichols Lane in Forest Grove. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
The time is 7 o'clock p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
Yeah, 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 what's really going on? This is Boost from the Coup with Hard Knock Radio. You gotta be there.
What up, y'all? It's Aya Sage, a.k.a. Rocky Rivera, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop.
I'm actually calling out there in a minute. Just let me finish this, y'all.